Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's edition of Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover, evangelist, church planter, and missionary. Stephen is the former National Evangelism Missionary for the North American Mission Board, a former church planter, who holds a master's degree in church planting and evangelism from Liberty University. Stephen has served as a domestic missionary for over 12 years, and evangelism is something he does every day. Now here's your host, Stephen Glover.
God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome again to another episode of Evangelize for Life with your host, Stephen Glover. So glad you're able to join us again today. I wanted to address a topic that I know many of you have similar concerns as I regarding true and false converts, because we hear all the time about what Christians do or don't do, what they believe or don't believe, and I think the Bible clearly teaches that there are going to be plenty of individuals who will, on the day of judgment, will claim to be followers of Jesus, but he will say, "I never knew you, you workers or doers of lawlessness," and that's simply because of the fact that they never were born again. And how do we know if a person is saved or unsaved? Well, we're going to look at that today, and we're also going to look at some of the things that are in the news regarding those who profess to be Christians. But before we do, let's spend a little moment or a little time in prayer, communing with God and asking his blessing and his favor and his power today. Lord, we know it's not by power, not by might, but it's by your Spirit. And we know, God, that you are the vine and we are the branches, and outside of you, we can do nothing. So, Lord, we ask that, Lord, we would abide in you today. We ask that you would fill me with your Spirit, and your listeners will have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. We pray that, Father, you'll be honored as we examine, Lord, some of the things that we hear in the news, and also those who say they're believers, but by their fruit, Lord, they deny that they even know you. So, God, we invite your presence, and we just thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to begin this program, and I see we have a caller already. I wanted to begin this program, before I get to the caller, by reading a quote from A.W. Tozer, in which he is referring to false converts in the church. And this is what he says. He says, "It is my opinion that tens of thousands of people, if not millions, have been brought into some kind of religious experience by accepting Christ, and they have not been saved." So Tozer's not alone in this conclusion. Also, late pastor D. James Kennedy of Coral Ridge Ministry says this. This is something he observed from over 24 years of ministry. He says, "The vast majority of people who are members of churches in America today are not Christians. I say that without slightest fear or contradiction. I've based it on empirical evidence of 24 years of examining thousands of people." So we have two men of God who are concerned about what they see. They're concerned about what is reflected in the church. Now, why am I bringing this up? The reason why I'm bringing this up is that some of the news today, some of the things we see in the news, for example, what has come to be known as the Miami cannibal. Many of you are familiar with the man that his name was Eugene, I believe, and he ate the face of a homeless man in Miami. And just recently, his girlfriend came out said that he wasn't a violent man, or nor was he a drug user. He didn't use heavy drugs, and this is her experience of having a four-year relationship with him. And she said that she felt safe with his name was Rudy. She says that there was no indication in his history of mental illness or that he was using drugs, even though the police report said that he was arrested a couple times for marijuana possession. But this is the same guy who chewed the face off a homeless man, and then he was attacked. He was attacked, or he attacked this homeless man. And so she basically has come out and said that there was no violence in her relationship during this 4 months. But she also had mentioned, and this is what brings us to our topic, that she read, or she mentioned that he often, or they often read the Bible, and he also read the Quran, and they watched religious television programming in the morning. So it sounds to me that they were also cohabitating together. Now, ask you tell me, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 7 and a couple other verses. Does that sound like a follower of Jesus Christ? Does that sound like someone who is dead to self, dead to themselves, and alive to Christ? Someone who knows the voice of Christ and follow him only? It doesn't sound like it, because this individual wanted to know more about the Muslim faith. And Scripture is very, very clear that you cannot serve two masters. You're either going to love one or you're going to hate the other one. And so even though she said he carried around his Bible, he also had the Quran by his side, it doesn't sound to me that this gentleman was a born-again follower of Jesus Christ. Sounds like he was a very religious man. Sounds like he studied or read. But if he studied and read the Quran, and if he studied and read the Bible, he would see that they are complete opposites, and the Quran conflicts with Scripture. So she said that he would place the Bible on top of the Quran on the passenger seat of his car, and he was just in the process of figuring out the Quran. She said he just really picked up the Quran and was trying to actually get into it as he was into the Bible. And so let's go to the Word of God and let's see what the Bible has to say about this. And the reason why I say that, because I think the Bible is very clear. Jesus draws a line in the sand. He wants us to know for sure whether a person is a follower of Christ, if a person is a true believer, or what identifies him as being a false believer. Well, according to Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction." So he's talking about two gates. There's a narrow gate and then there's a wide gate. Clearly, the narrow gate has prerequisites. It looks like to me from reading and comparing the two that the narrow gate is a difficult gate. Where the wide gate may include all kinds of religions, it may include religious works and self-righteousness, but it looks like Jesus is saying that the narrow gate is only by faith, only in Jesus Christ. So it's constricted, it's precise, it's selective. What we hear today is that people say that Christians are bigoted or they're narrow. Well, yeah. That makes sense, because Jesus said that we are to be narrow. He says the way to heaven is narrow. He actually even claimed to say that I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He says no man comes to the Father but by me. So clearly, this way to heaven, based on these verses, is a narrow way. Now, clearly, he's also teaching that there is a broad way, and it sounds to me that the Miami Cannibal, or not to get into the naming or the, you know, what they're coming at with this to describe this individual, but Eugene, it clearly, based on his characteristics, based on his actions, his behavior, and this is even before we get to his cannibalistic behavior, that it sounds to me that he was on the broad road. Because again, Jesus says in verse 14, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and few are there who find it. Few are there who find it. Now, we're talking, of course, billions, trillions of people over the course of history have been born into the world, but Jesus is saying, based on the multitude of people that have been born into the world, it is a very, very narrow and very few people find the way to heaven. Because he says, and we're going to skip the whole false prophet, but we're going to look at, even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. Now, when you look at this individual, his girlfriend is trying to say that he was a religious man, you look at his fruit, it just doesn't seem like this would characterize the fruit of a believer. Now, when I look at the fruit of the disciples, I see that these men who were true followers of Christ were not shot and killed eating someone, but they were thrown into prison, or they were persecuted, or they suffered for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I think when I look at the history of the church, Philip was crucified in A.D. 54. Matthew was beheaded in Ethiopia in A.D. 60. Barnabas was burned to death in Cyprus in A.D. 64. Mark was dragged to death in Alexandria in A.D. 64. James the Less was clubbed to death in Jerusalem in A.D. 66. Paul beheaded in Rome in A.D. 66. Peter crucified in Rome in A.D. 67. Andrew crucified in Arcadia in A.D. 70. Thomas was speared to death in Communia in A.D. 70, and Luke was hanged to death in Athens in A.D. 93. So persecution has always been the portion of the godly. So there's a clear distinction between, again, someone that is behaving in an animalistic, demonic fashion, as mentioned in the previous program. You can go and look that up, where it talks about cannibalism. So there's a clear distinction between the two. So we see these men who died for their faith. They died because they believed in Jesus and they were living for Christ, not being shot to death for producing or demonstrating fruit that is not evidence of a person that's redeemed. So you can be on the broad road, and the reason why you know you're on the broad road is that there's no life change. You cannot have an encounter with the sovereign, omnipresent, all-powerful God and remain the same. There must be a transformation. And not to say that we do not still struggle and war against the flesh, because the Bible teaches to walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because there is a war, there is a battle that is ongoing for the mind of believers, for control of believers, but we're talking about differences in that possession and control by the Holy Spirit, and then not on an ongoing basis demonstrating bad fruit, but you may fall into sin or commit a sin and you confess it and God forgives you, but we're talking about someone who continuously indulged in bad fruit or bad behavior or bad activity. So girlfriend had mentioned marijuana, and I think she kind of helps us understand the mind and the characteristics or the spiritual man of this guy. Because if she talks about marijuana, is indulging in that, and of course been arrested a multitude of times according to police report, cohabitation, also the Quran, and so, you know, Jesus makes it very clear in John chapter 10, and let me find that verse, where he says in John chapter 10 that my sheep, he says that my sheep know my voice, or a stranger, they simply will not follow but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. So his sheep follow him because they know his voice. So if this man clearly knew who the voice of Jesus was, he wouldn't be indulging or investigating another false or a false religion that Muhammad founded in the early 6th or 7th century. Okay, so again, we see bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit, according to Scripture, is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, you will know them by their fruits. So, again, the Lord is telling us, we will know them by their fruits. So what do we see? We see, again, we see bad fruit. We see a man who does not know Jesus. Sadly, in all likelihood, based on Scripture, this man will spend an eternity in hell. And again, we don't know his eternal state, but we just can assess the fruit. This is the reason why preaching the gospel is so very important, because, again, people were given an opportunity to choose. It looks like he was seeking after God, but it looks like he never came to know him personally as his Lord and Savior. So this is the reason why the Bible in the same chapter says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. So you can honor God with your mouth. You can do good deeds. You can do good works. But he says those who do the will of the Father, those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who have died to their self, who submitted their life to Christ, and who are willing to follow him, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the opposition, no matter what the obstacles, one that is willing to lay down his life, as we saw with his apostles who surrendered their life. And he says that many will declare to me, Lord, he says that many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Did we cast out demons in your name and done many wondrous things in your name? And he will declare, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Those who know the law and continue the law of God and kind of reject the law of God and continue to practice and live according to their own desires. And that's exactly what we see according to this report that we received or that is online. We see that this man continued to live according to his own desires. And Titus chapter 1 says they profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. So once again, they profess to know him, but by their deeds they deny him. So we see that throughout Scripture. Now, he talks about lawlessness. Now, it's interesting that you know that when we share the gospel and the method that I use to bring forth the identity or to help a person understand their sin, because without acknowledgement of that sin, there won't be any repentance. And I think about even in the Alcoholics Anonymous, and they've got this concept that when a person checks in to Alcoholics Anonymous, the first thing or one of the first things they do is to help them understand and admit that they are alcoholics. And in order to get to the point of repentance or a change of mind, you first have to acknowledge that you, in fact, are a sinner. Repentance is a change of mind and attitude about one's behavior. Now, how do we get a person to understand that they need a Savior? Well, according to 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Bible says, but we know, beginning in verse 8, that the law is good. It's good if one uses it lawfully. So the law was given by God to reflect his holiness, to reflect his standards, because God does have principles. He does reveal his character, his nature, his attributes are revealed in his law. And so the law is to be used, and it's to be used skillfully. And what do I mean by this? He says in verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person. Because, you know, what's interesting, the self-righteous, I think about in John 9, where the self-righteous Pharisees, when Jesus came to them, refused to acknowledge that they were blind. So Jesus rebuked them in saying that you're blind even though you see, but those who are blind see. Those who acknowledge Jesus Christ, Jesus recognized them, even though they were once walking in darkness, but now they were in the light. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains. So the Pharisees refused to admit their sin. They refused to admit that Jesus was the Messiah. And because of that, Jesus said, you claim that you see, but in fact, you are blind. So the law is not made for a righteous person, but it's made for the lawless and the insubordinate, for the ungodly, and for the sinners. Now, it's interesting that the first five commandments, first four commandments of the Ten Commandments deal with a relationship between God and man. For example, the first commandment is you should have no other gods before me. The second commandment is you should not bow down and worship any other gods. The third commandment is that you should not use the Lord's name in vain. And the fourth is to keep the Sabbath holy. So when he talks about lawlessness, again, he's referring to the fact that describes those who have no commitment to any law or standard, which makes such people insubordinate or rebellious. So when he refers to those who are ungodly, he's referring to those who have no regard for any sacred, or which means anything sacred, and it means that they are sinners because they disregard God's law. And then in the area of unholiness, people are indifferent to what is right, which leads to be the profane who step on or trample that which is sacred. Now, in our witnessing yesterday, I had an encounter with a gentleman who worked at the zoo and then got a job as a security or policeman at the courthouse. So speaking and talking with him, he compared those who are at the zoo, the animals there, with the individuals who came into the courthouse, who were there for trials or to meet with attorneys or judges, etc. So he didn't see any difference between the two, and he believed in the survival of the fittest. He believed that those who were strongest and those who were better equipped were the ones who were dominant. So clearly, he had no commitment to God's law or standard. He was insubordinate. He was in rebellion to the things of God, because Scripture says, the fool says in his heart that there is no God. So clearly, here's an example of a person who was lawless. And so I used the law to help him understand that he was in fact a violator of the law, and that there was in fact a lawgiver, so he can understand that there was in fact a God. Now, that is the reason why it's so important, guys, we use the law to bring knowledge of sin in order to understand the grace of God, the mercy of God, the justice, the forgiveness of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. We must first understand how wretched, how depraved mankind is. The next five of the Ten Commandments, the murderers, he says, in the next verse, for the unholy, the profane, the murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, or for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust. So he goes on and he talks about specific sins that are in relationship to to human beings. And so murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers is in violation to the fifth commandment. And the fifth commandment is honor your mother and father. So the fifth commandment forbids everything from dishonor to murder. We see even manslayers or murderers. This violates the sixth commandment. So he mentions the sixth commandment, and even if you hate, the Bible says that is the same as murder. It's the same as murder. Or fornication, sodomites, homosexuality, that all falls under the category of the seventh commandment, which is committing adultery, looking with lust, acting in any immoral or perverted activity, sexual activity outside marriage, is considered by God a violation of his law. And so he prohibits sexual activity in the marriage bed, because the Bible says that the marriage bed is undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. That's in Hebrews chapter 13. So because he mentions the theft of children, which is a major problem in Toledo, wasn't compliant even in Paul's day, kidnappers, which was stealing in the eighth commandment, because they're taking someone or something that doesn't belong to them. So kidnappers violate the eighth commandment. Liars violate the ninth commandment. Perjurers are violation of the ninth commandment. So he clearly outlines that the law is for those who are lawless, lawbreakers, those who have God's law written in their heart, but because they lay aside God's clear command and they ignore their conscience, that is when the word con means with, the word science means knowledge. So when we sin with knowledge. So we obviously ignore our conscience and we do the things that we desire. And because of that, God considers that lawlessness. Now, getting back to where we started, you know, the narrow way is clear, and that comes only through faith in Christ. It's important that you understand that Jesus says that no man comes to the Father but through me. Let me encourage you to visit Evangelize for Life. Let me encourage you to comment on what you've heard and participate by calling in at 646-200-4203. We don't have much time left, but I just want to make sure that if you're listening and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, feel free to visit my website, which you'll get more information. You can leave express a message, and I will gladly get back to you if you have any questions. I appreciate you joining in. Obviously, you have and would like to know more about evangelizing the lost, and we cover the various angles, cover the various teachings, false teachings that are out there, but also we try to encourage people to use God's word, use God's law. Paul said, I would not have known covenant except by the law. So the law is what shuts the mouth in order that the person might understand that they're guilty before God and that they were turned to the grace that comes through the cross, established through Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood. So please visit the website, Evangelize for Life, the number four, for life. And so glad you joined us again today, and we invite you back to join us again next week as we discuss another topic in which we deal with in our society, and also to encourage you to get out and preach the gospel. And as you heard from our theme song, send me and I'll go. We need more people going because the lostness is abounding, but we know that grace abounds even more. So may God bless you, and may the Lord keep you, and may his face shine upon you, those who believe in Christ.